On air, WICC 600. Online, WICC600.com. Let's stimulate your brain with the Lisa Wexler Show.
And welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. Today is Inauguration Day, and in the next hour, as we continue to survey what's going on in Washington, D.C., we will likely, hopefully, cut to the inauguration itself, the ceremony itself, which is attended by far fewer people than you today. 4 years ago today, I was in Washington, D.C., and I was just really proud and happy as an American to be hopeful and optimistic that Donald Trump would be a good president. That was my hope. I was invited to the ceremony. I was happy to go. To who 4 years ago said to me, how can you go support the man? I said, it's not about whether or not I supported him in the run-up to today, which is none of your business and my own, but it's rather about, as an American, standing on the precipice of a new administration and hoping and praying that it will be a good 4 years. I still stand by that. I think that any Republican who would be invited to his inauguration should go with a full heart and a happy attitude, because I think that these kind of ceremonies unite us as Americans. They're not meant to be us. Joining us now is somebody who has devoted his life and career to helping us, law enforcement officer Florencio Cotto, who was born and raised in New Haven, Connecticut, and it is in his 15th year as a New Haven police officer. He's joining us today because he was just elected of the Police Officers Association in 2021. Good morning, officer. Welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show today. I'm happy to have you on today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Lisa.
Well, I'm very happy to have you, Officer Cotto. And the reason I wanted you here is I really wanted to hear your input, not about a crime story in Connecticut, although maybe we'll have you on to talk about that at another point. But rather, I really was interested in your thoughts on what's happened with respect to the Capitol Police and the way law enforcement has really dominated the headlines, the fact that the FBI has vetted the National Guard, and this morning that one of the National Guardsmen assigned to the detail of the duty of Biden had to be dismissed from that duty. I don't know if you saw that, because it purported so links that were very troubling and disturbing. You know, enforcement officer, I really would like to hear your thoughts on what happened on January 6th to begin with. What were your thoughts as this was unraveling?
I thought what happened on that fateful day was obviously shameful and alarming, I think, for any American, whatever your political affiliation is. I think what happened on that day should have never occurred. And because of it, you know, people's lives were lost, which is obviously tragic. I believe that, you know, I think hopefully the country, you know, through some healing can come together through every city, town, and state. You know, I know that there's some division among people with certain topics, but hopefully, you know, going forward, we could all come and unify as one America and, you know, and be prosperous in that regard.
There was it was an interesting sort of backlash after January 6th, Officer Cotto, about the blue wall of silence being chipped away because officers were willing to tell on each other when they thought they had betrayed their ethical and moral and legal responsibility to protect the Capitol. As the elected president of the Police Officers Association of Connecticut, tell us about the reaction, the blue wall of silence here in Connecticut. How real and true is it? When does it ever, if ever, get eroded? Can you tell us a little bit? I'm not a police officer. I don't have any police family. The closest I come to this, Officer Cotto, is that I really love Blue Bloods and I watch Blue Bloods all the time, and it's one of my favorite TV shows. It's a great show. I bring myself right into The Chief Reagan's dinner table on Sundays, and I really love it. But of course, it's an idealized, imaginized world of police. But you're on the ground, and now you're in a leadership position. What's this blue? How real and true is it?
Honestly, I don't say. I think it's more of a TV type name put towards it. I mean, you know, here in Connecticut, I mean, I could speak for New Haven as I'm a leader in the union for that city. You know, there's no if there's wrongdoing that's occurring, you know, my members speak up, right? Whether that's against another fellow member or what have you. I mean, what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. And, you know, I can't speak for other, you know, states and local municipalities and how they conduct themselves within their organizations. But I know here in Connecticut and especially in New Haven, that doesn't happen. You know, like I've said, if you're doing the right thing, there's no issues. And if an officer sees something wrong in the course of their duties by another fellow officer, you know, they're expected to speak up.
One of the things that happened during last year after George Floyd, I had some mayors on the show, and they said that one of their frustrations was that the police union is an impediment to getting rid of bad guys. Now, and of course, assume, and we should reiterate this a lot, that they're in the minority. They're in the real minority, we hope, and everywhere. But as the leader of the police union, and as a working police officer, you know, I'm curious how you see your role. If you see a video, some kind of camera video evidence of some excessive force, what do you think the role of the union should be?
I think in all regards, with the union that I represent and lead, it's not that we defend bad cops or bad apples that people have heard. It's we defend due process. That's all, right? I mean, everyone has their day in court, so to speak, for officers that have done something maybe administratively, whether it's pending termination. We're obligated to defend that person, just like if they were convicted of a crime. They have the right to legal counsel. It's nothing different than that. I can only speak for myself as union leader. You know, we don't want bad apples, right? We want everyone to come on the job, to do what's best for themselves and the community, and go home at night. And, you know, bad apples put a stain on our brand, and our brand is helping others, being involved in the community. But, and in regard of someone who does something wrong, you know, again, our job is to just defend their due process rights, and that's all.
Officer Cotto, I'm curious to know, when you wanted to become a police officer?
Say that again, I'm sorry?
When did you decide to become a police officer? How old were you? When did you decide?
Man, this goes back some time ago. My uncle was a New Haven police officer during the mid to late 80s, and I saw him growing up, you know, going to work every day, putting on his uniform, you know, doing those show and tells at school, you know, and he was one of the first integral parts of me wanting to be a police officer. He told me what the job entailed. You know, it was scary at times, but it was very rewarding majority of his time, being able to help his fellow man and woman in the community. Was a great rewarding benefit to his career, for which he retired, and you know, and he loved every minute of it. And I thought, if he loves it, I'm sure I can love it and do the same. And you And hopefully in the past 15 years, I've done that.
I love your name, Florencio.
Thank you. It was
a great name.
Bestowed by my father. I'm a junior.
You're a junior. So what are you? Are you called your full name Florencio at home, or is there a nickname?
Well, I mean, you know, from my time being a police officer, we usually go by last names. So they always, you know, we always shorten our names. But people have called me Flo for short. You know, for some people that can't pronounce Florencio, right? It's not always as easy for people as you and I can obviously say it, right? Flo or Cotto, you know.
It's a great name. It's such a great name. You don't hear it much in America. I mean, I assume it's Italian, right? It's from Italy.
So I'm half Puerto Rican and half black, but it is an Italian name. I don't know the origins of it. My father really never got into it. We always laughed that we had Italian first names, and you know, but did not look Italian.
That's funny. That's really funny. We're chatting with Florencio Cotto, who is the newly elected 2021 head of the Connecticut Police Officers Association. And before I let you go, because it's a big day with inauguration, I did want to just ask you about something. So I see that the mission of the organization is really a legislative one. There's been so much talk about the new police accountability bill, which some say is accountability reform bill. But I see that one of the things that deeply disturbs you as an organization is that you're not happy with the changed legal standard for the justified use of deadly force. Could you explain what it was and what it's going to be going forward?
So the changes with the use of deadly force, first and foremost, there was no collaborative effort that was done with all stakeholders. And it was, in our opinion, a one-sided legislative effort for which it was passed last July, and with no, you know, input. And with that being said, the changes to the deadly use of force with no training, right? Training is very key. It's very vital in us doing police officers in the state, not just in New Haven, but in the state, to be able to effectively do their jobs. But then it puts doubt in their minds as to what the proper procedures are they to take if applying deadly force in any situation. And giving that doubt can get people hurt, not only the police officers, but also citizens alike. And I think with the creation of POAC, we're trying to do that, to collaborate with legislators in Connecticut. So if there's any questions on this topic, that it can be discussed. And hopefully, you know, changes can be made during those efforts.
Because what you're saying, and this I'm reading from your website, is that the current U.S. Supreme Court standard says that in looking with 2020 hindsight as to whether or not a police officer did the right thing or used excessive force or used justifiable force, the reasonableness of a particular use of force must be judged from the perspective of, quote, a reasonable officer on the scene rather than with 2020 vision of hindsight, and which use section 29 of the new Connecticut law would in fact require a different, which is whether or not the actions were objectively reasonable under the circumstances. In other words, and further saying that an officer exhaust all alternatives and that there would be no substantial to a third party and that there would be necessary to effect an arrest of a person whom he or she reasonably believes has committed or to commit a felony which involved the actual infliction of serious physical injury. In other words, all of that must be done before one could objectively say that the use of physical force was justified. And from your point of view, unrealistic, too cumbersome, what is it that you most object to about that?
Well, it's unrealistic because you know, the standard, the federal standard is an officer on scene. Now it's objectively reasonable to anyone. Like you said earlier in the show, you're not a police officer. You never were involved in law enforcement.
Nope.
And
nope.
For me to use deadly physical force at a scene, and for someone such as yourself, as you pointed out, has never done it before, to tell me or an officer that they did it incorrectly when they've never done the job and never been trained and never been put in a situation such as this, you know, it brings a lot of second guessing, and that's what you don't want. And that's where I interjected that could put people in harm's way. And
I think that, I hear you. Do you think that there should be a panel of former police officers who are no longer have any sort of vested interest in terms of their own job security? That could be a way of doing reasonable oversight when there have been allegations of excessive force, so that people who have walked in your shoes are judging the actions. What do you think?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it could always be a start. I mean, I'm always willing to have a conversation, but we have to have the conversation, and that hasn't happened here in Connecticut. And, you know, we're hoping through the formation of POAC that can occur, and we're going to be looking forward to having those conversations with all stakeholders.
Good for you. So this is a relatively new organization. It was founded in 2016, and you're in charge, Florencio Cotto. Good luck. Thank you for coming on the show. To have you back again, and thank you very much for your service to the community.
Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate your opportunity to speak with you.
So much. Off Cotto on the Lisa Wexler Show. Back.